Hello, and welcome back to the 75th Ranger Regiment IT Innovators Podcast. Today's interview is with Brigadier General Paul Kraft. He is dual-hatted as the Chief of the Cyber Branch and the Commandant of the U.S. Army Cyber School. Colonel Promotable Kraft served as a career signal officer before recently transitioning to the Cyber Branch. In addition, today's episode features the 75th Ranger Regiment Military Intelligence Battalion Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Timothy Sikora. He's the first cyber officer to take battalion command in the 75th Ranger Regiment. In today's episode, we discuss the future of information operations and how both the cyber and signal branch work together in cyberspace. Thank you for listening. Rangers lead the way.
At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944, 225 Rangers ran to the bottom of these cliffs. The American Rangers began to climb.
Today, we have done what we had to do. If necessary, we shall do it again. He counted on America to be passive. He counted wrong.
Sir, thanks for being on the podcast with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. Great to be here.
Absolutely, sir. So at Fort Gordon, you wear two hats, Chief of Cyber and Cyber Commandant. Can you please explain the two roles?
Well, first, as the Chief of Cyber for the Army, my responsibility is to ensure that we have a healthy career path. That includes from E1 to E9, O1 to O10, and WO1 to CW5. And that's really documented in 600-3, primarily for the officers. And that's, you know, what are the key developmental jobs? What are the CSL jobs? You know, why? What jobs matter? What, you know, what are the broadening assignments that you can have? What, you know, what's out there for you, and how can you be best set up for success? That also includes not just your career path. That is also approving MTOs for all cyber formations across the Army. That also includes signing off on all doctrine for cyber across the Army. So that's really the responsibility of being the Chief of the Branch. And then I work with, and on my books is HRC, so the assignment officers that work at HRC up at Fort Knox, and also for our Colonel's Division in Washington, D.C. They also coordinate with me, and we make sure in a talent-based analysis who is best fitted for what jobs within the 17 series. All that, again, is wrapped up in being Chief of Cyber for the Army. The other hat I wear is the Commandant for the Cyber Warfare School, and that is multiple parts, but part one is IMT, our Initial Military Training. That's our AIT soldiers, running the curriculum, so building the curriculum and running the courses for all of our soldiers. That also includes IMT for our officers, so think BOLIC. And then PME for our officers, which includes the captain's career course. Also in that, we contribute to the curriculum for all the functional courses that we have, specifically for all the 17 series, and that includes the functional courses and the electives within the Command General Staff College, working with SAMS, up at the Army War College, and even teaching, I'll be teaching ACEPC, the general officer courses. For those general officers, they're going to be deputy command generals of divisions and division commanders. So I go up there and I teach a course at Leavenworth to that course on what it is for what it means to be cyber and electronic warfare, and how you can best utilize cyber operations officers and NCOs and electronic warfare officers and NCOs within your tactical formations.
Sir, that's a great answer. And let's stick with your cyber commandant hat. How do you define success when training the next generation of cyber leaders?
Yeah, so great question. And I will tell you that that question has been posed because the original definition of what defined success was E7 in 20 years, making E8. It was lieutenant colonel in 20 years, and that was considerably a successful career. Well, now it is much more... What success means is really more individually focused and talent-based, and we're really looking for people with high talent that want to make an impact, that have the right mindset and resilience and I'll say special skills inside a branch that can be developed over time. And so it's much more of a, not just what the Army says success is, but also now what I'll say our soldiers and our officers say what success is. So the soldier is much more not only responsible, but also helps in defining what success looks like. I will tell you within cyberspace that a successful career could be that you come in, you do your initial term, and you may transition, I'll say, out of the military, or maybe out of wearing the uniform, but you stay on the team, and you continue with the great skills that you had, and you stay on the team, because our teams aren't just all military. We have a lot of special skilled personnel that are both government service and contractors that are on these specialty teams that do amazing things inside this space, and they're able to stay on the team because we get into not only special skills, but also special access, and those things are really developed over time. And so we need someone that not only has the understanding, the aptitude, and attitude, but also is able to stay with it from an experiential perspective to gain all the right certifications and accesses in order to do a great job in the space. So it's really about being a great member of the team and being a leader on a team is what I would define success today.
Sir, this is Captain Cho. One of the things that you're highlighting a lot from what I've heard thus far is finding the right people. What are the core competencies that you would define in the cyber branch? And what key skills are you looking for from your people?
So what we're looking for up front, for all, if I just want to talk about the officers real quick, is our focus for this branch has been on technical skills. So we are really looking for people who have an understanding of math and science. So we primarily look for people with STEM degrees and even advanced degrees. So we have personnel on our teams now, even lieutenants that are coming in that have masters and PhDs, that have advanced special skills, that understand, have interpersonal skills, they have advanced technical skills, that they have the ability to adapt and overcome, that they have resilience. We also, inside the space, we go through and have psychological exams because we want to make sure that they're able to do the right thing at the right time, even under pressure. They also have to be able to get advanced security clearances, and that's why we go through all the way up. All of our personnel are really TSSEI, and we're looking at not only for our cyber, but also electronic warfare to get polygraph because the accesses that they're going to have and the special skills that they're going to need. So I'll say we're looking for a broad set of skills, but if you want to be told me to an answer, I'll say science, technology, engineering, and math. And you can come out of high school and have a propensity and attitude and aptitude to do that, and we will give you those skills because many of our courses on the enlisted side and the officer side are almost a year long. So we have some of the longest training and most rigorous training in the Army today in multiple courses. And then that training doesn't stop. So a big part of being inside of cyber is being a lifelong learner. And so you may not come in, you may come in with just a high school degree, or you may come in with a bachelor's degree, master's, or PhD. But what we're seeing inside this branch, young branch, obviously only about 5-6 years old now, is the constant pursuit of training and education and certifications is really what's been helping really define our branch. Is from a knowledge-based branch, but also a branch that is able to adapt and overcome and learn.
Sir, you talked about a large breadth and depth of skills there. Just like every branch, the focus is being a soldier first. With the large amount of technical debt required to train a competent cyber soldier, is the emphasis on being a soldier versus a cyber operator different than all the other branches?
Yeah, great question. So I would say that the way this branch started off was we started off very focused on technical. We have long courses. In many cases, it may take the soldier 3 years before they get on keyboard with the amount of education and training they've got to get from a certification perspective. But I will tell you that we are lifting and shifting as we expand into Forces Command, into the Rangers, into Special Forces, where it's equally important on the tactical side. So we may have started off with a strategic mindset and training people on the skills to interface with three-letter agencies, but now we're taking that same training and skills and ensuring that we are soldiers first, because we are now putting cyberspace warriors and electronic warfare warriors inside brigade combat teams, divisions, corps. Obviously, I've already talked about what we do within the Rangers and Special Forces. So great, great question.
Sir, when you get out to talk with battalion commanders, combat arms, battalion commanders, and brigade commanders, what are some things you're telling them as you make your travels?
Well, one of the things is just so they understand as we transition from unified land operations into multi-domain operations. I know we're going from the doctrine of unified land operations into a concept known as multi-domain operations, is understanding the cyber domain and the electromagnetic spectrum and what the heck that is. How can you leverage that power and how can you dominate that domain? Not just the land domain, which we're very familiar with because we're Army, but also the cyber domain. And so we get after what, as a leader, what questions do you need to ask your 17 series personnel inside your formations to get the most out of them so they can do their job for you and make you very successful in the space? Whether that is, how can you protect me? How can you protect my flanks? How can you protect me as I, you know, do a movement to contact? And also, how can I do bad things to bad people inside the cyber domain? And what tools can you bring to bear for me, either tactically or strategically, as I mentioned earlier?
So you're the first Signal chief of cyber. So you had the branch transfer as an 06. So coming in this job, what the background of Signal, having that in your pocket, what does that do to the branch and how does that help it?
Yeah, so I will tell you that the branch primarily started focused on offense and offense and inside offense. The SIGINT community, the Intel community, and how they tie that in really brought in a lot of MI officers initially inside this space. But as we expand out and into and build out the DCO capability within cyber, what we start to see was more and more Signal officers really inside this space. And so just, you know, how my career, you know, I'll say progressed, tactical Signal platoon leader, tactical Signal company commander, a strategic and tactical battalion XOS3, a tactical Signal battalion commander, in combat, actually working with the Rangers, and then a more of a strategic Signal brigade commander. But and at that point, I started doing interfaces more with NSA, and cyber is a man-made domain. Okay, so cyber and what we do, we are not successful without the Signal Corps. So that interrelationship between what the Signal Corps provides in terms of the network is key to success inside the cyber domain, is having that proper interface and interaction with the Signal Corps, between the Signal Corps and the Cyber Corps, just like how this branch started, which was the interaction between the MI Corps and the Cyber Corps. So we're seeing a very good mixture of talented MI officers that have made that transition and now talented Signal Corps officers that are making that transition of a natural piece between offensive cyber and defensive cyber, of having network experts being able to show how we can better secure and actively defend, just like we had SIGINT experts who understand how we can best do offense in that space. And so that's that new mix of this new branch and really where we have been born from. So great question.
So in 10 years from now, what will the relationship look like between cyber and Signal?
So I only see the relationship getting stronger, because we're all on the same team. We are securing and defending the same network from a defensive perspective. The more we understand each other's job and how we contribute to the team, the better off we're going to be. It is similar to the relationship between the Rangers and I'll say other and force comm units with brigade combat teams, divisions, and corps. We may have similar base skills, but we have other special skills that really help us do unique and special things within our space. It's just the space that we're fighting in is now not the land domain, it is the cyber domain.
So cyber is a relatively new branch. There's a lot of buzz and hype when the branch was first released. and a lot of rumors and misconceptions on what the branch on what the branch was. So what do you feel like is confusing service members about the cyber branch today?
Well, maybe I can best explain that just from my matriculation from being a 25 to now a 17. So, going through all the PME courses within the Signal Corps and taking a bunch of certifications and all those things as a Signal Corps officer, tactically and strategically, I have a pretty good understanding of how the network works and how to engineer the network and how to secure the network. What I got into it as I got up at the operational level and strategic level of war, and working with three-letter and four-letter agencies and getting read into, I'll call it different intel programs and caveats, was I saw how intel could help the Signal Corps do a better job of securing and actively defending their networks. And so by getting read into those programs and understanding the intel, how intel informs operations and DOTA operations, that space was a logical transition from being a 25 to being a 17. It's really intel-based operations, primarily SIGINT, but intel-based operations inside a space of how best to both conduct offense and defensive operations, movement and maneuver inside the cyber domain.
Sticking with the combat arms theme, sir, so with the complexity of cyberspace domain, can you, in layman's or infantry terms, break down the roles and responsibilities between cyber, Signal, and MI?
So the Signal Corps team, they really help build the domain. They engineer, they install, they operate, maintain, and secure the domain with their set of kit, whether that's WinT kit, emitter radios, whatever the case is, HF. They build the networking environment by which and through we fight. It's how they provide command and control. It's how they enable movement and maneuver. It's how they enable intel sustainment, all the other warfighting functions. That's the Signal Corps' like job. That's what they get paid to do. On the intel side, even within their intel warfighting function, they are providing intelligence in order to inform the commander to make the right choices at the right time, as intel is informing operations. And then cyber sits in the middle, I'll say, of that, because it is certainly taking intelligence from the intelligence community. It is also taking commercial threat intelligence, I'll say, from think Microsoft, think McAfee, think FireEye, different organizations, in order to do a couple things. One, to best create movement space on the offense and to prevent the adversary from doing things to the formation, but also to protect and actively defend that formation as it moves through space, through, I'll call it, cybersecurity and active defense, either with using the Signal Corps tools, think firewalls, router switches, or its own unique set of cyber kit that it has, its own mobile kit that we can clip into a network to even better defend and sense within the environment.
Sir, cyber has a lot of responsibilities below the level of armed conflict. Even when the U.S. is not at war, will cyber always be in conflict?
Yes, good. So we call that the competition phase. And so depending on who you talk to, we are always in a state of, I'll call it, competition with the 2+3, those organizations, China, Russia, DPRK, Iran, and violent extremists, right? Where we're constantly on guard and sensing what is happening within our environment, not just within the Department of Defense, but outside the Department of Defense, so that we can best defend, so that we can ensure that the information that we have is correct, so that we can make the right decisions. And all that happens below the level of armed conflict, because we're really only in a singular conflict right now. In the innocent declared conflict within the CENTCOM AOR. And so we have a different set of rules for what we can do inside that space versus inside the space which is below the level of competition. So in many cases in this space, we are sensing and protecting ourselves based on our roles and missions and our approved authorities that we have within the cyber domain.
Sir, following up on the authorities
and I guess approvals to operate. How much of cyber operations, both friendly and enemy, should be classified, and when should soldiers know these attacks are happening?
So I'll tell you that the first time that I really made that transition as a Signal Corps officer and jumped into the intel space, I was both the happiest guy and the maddest guy around, because I realized that there was a whole bunch of intelligence that I did not have a need to know because I didn't have proper clearances as a 25. And as I stepped across, I'll say behind the door, I realized that there's a lot more things that if I would have known them, I could have done a better job of securing that, you know, brigade, division, corps network if I would have known about that, but there just wasn't, a need to know. And so inside this space, we have to do a better job of ensuring that the intelligence that that community has is being shared with the 25. The 35 to the 25 has got to happen. A good interface now that we're developing within tactical formations is the 17, who really can make that translation happen, because they're going to have all the right credentials and authorities and have access to the classified information, who can help out the 25 community and really bring those two organizations better together. I know that the Signal Corps is also looking at upgrading all of their community to a higher classification, because right now, as you leave, you know, you leave the Signal Corps, you have a secret clearance out of, you know, say basic training. If you're a 35 series intel, you walk out with a TS, and if you're a 17 series, you walk out with a TS. And so we've got to get the classification of data and the classification of operations at the right level so that we can have proper communications.
Sir, we recently heard that the cyber branch is going to stand up a new MOS, the 17 Delta. Could you tell us a bit about what that role is going to be?
Okay, so that's the newest area of concentration for officers. It's the third area of concentration for officers. The first was the 17 Alpha Cyber Operations Officer. So think offense and defense, think the hackers of the community. Then we brought across Functional Area 29, which we turned into the 17 Bravos Electronic Warfare Officers. And the third AOC, which stands up this year, 2020, like the people that are now in class right now, can now become 17 Deltas, which are tool developers, think software developers. And those are the folks that are doing a couple things. One, we can put them in space and they can help design accesses and platforms and tools inside the cyber domain to help out. That's both on the offense or on the defense. We have them working. They're already working. I'll say we could call a bunch of alphas, deltas in this space, because we've got a lot of folks, because we train everybody that goes to the 17 school, 17 Bullock, how to code. And so multiple languages, most people come into the 17 branch being able to code in multiple languages. And I'll say the best ones go on, because that's exactly why they join the Army. That's exactly what they want to do. And we've got multiple formations and groups of coders that are just getting after it, helping build platforms and build accesses. I'll call it build cyber weapons within labs, inside SCIFs, are doing great things within the space. And we even have some folks that are already deployed doing great work for us.
Break. Sir, I want to ask about that MOS, 17 Delta, and how, and I think you already alluded to it with basically the coding and what you can do with the network and how you can use that. But I want to say, how did cyber get this MOS? You know, it could have gone a bunch of different ways, but it seems like, you know, and rightfully so, cyber called it. But was there ever a debate on that, or who was looking to land grab?
Are you saying versus that versus data engineer or whatever? I know the Signal Corps is trying to build a 26 Delta.
Yes. Yes.
Is that specifically what you're looking for?
That is. Without being around the bush, the land grab, how did that but we won't do that. I was just...
No, that's good. No, so the original purpose was someone, because it takes a long time to pipeline cyber weapons. Okay? And it takes a long time for program managers to build weapons when we can build weapons ourselves. Right? So we can take green suitor people, have them build, help build the right accesses or right tools in a lab, test it on our own cyber range and use it, and have a whole arsenal of weapons that we have developed and tested and verified that we could use at any time, built by our own personnel, our own cleared personnel to be used with inside this domain.
No, I love that answer, sir. And I think that's how, if you look at 75th is doing software development in-house, and you see how much quicker we can get out to Ranger on the ground, what we can do to develop that software and the DevSecOps model and put that into hands much quicker. And when you talk to other people, when they reference program of record or delays, it's hard.
You'll get it in 7 years. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I love hearing the cyber branch is getting after that and really starting to partner. Sir, can you explain Defense Digital Services and the cyber school partnership?
Yeah. So before we had the 17 Delta, Bolick, and Triple C, before we had courses that were actually developed by the University of Maryland, we were, and we still are going to continue our relationship, our partnership with Defense Digital Services. They bring in a lot of mad skills, a lot of great personnel, and they have come alongside, and we have had people that were sitting in our Bolick, in our Triple C, and even people from the force go work in DDS spaces and really help solve real world problems, both here for the Army and also downrange to folks in the fight. And they come at it from a different perspective, certainly from a DevSecOps a model, and we're able to just gain greater experience by bringing in commercial personnel who are cleared and having better conversations, and I'll say just learning faster and how to do things better from a different perspective that just helps round out our officers, NCOs, and warrant officers that are able to work with Defense Digital Services.
Sir, I'm curious now. So are your software developers focused specifically on developing exploitation tools, or are they developing other kinds of software to enable soldiers?
So the concept was, you know, how can we speed the development of our weapons platforms? So I'll say think primarily offense, but the base skills of what our software developers are getting is how to code in multiple languages. So I'll say primarily think Python, but also C and some others. But let's just, you know, think about Python. But understand that you can do a lot of things if you know how to code in multiple languages. And so we have actually used personnel not just to focus on offensive cyber tool development and tool development at speed for our warfight, but we've also been able to help out the Army writ large in how to fix some of the software challenges that they've had, because coders can code, whether it's coding for, you know, cyber platforms, or coding how to fix a biometric system, or coding in order to fix the future weapon systems that we are developing right now, supporting Major General Gallagher inside the space. Think the command post computing environment and challenges we're having of integrating all the new weapons platforms in there. We have offered our services for our coders to really step into that space. We have also been approached, because we've got coders, military coders, by the Artificial Intelligence Task Force. Brigadier General Easley has also asked, hey, can we get some of your coders? Because a lot of artificial intelligence and machine learning is coding in Python. And we know you're developing that skill set, and they will already, most of them that are in this space, already gonna have an advanced computer science degree. Could we also use their talents inside this space? And so where we started off in the 17 community to really just focus on building out capabilities for the cyber community, specifically I'll say primarily for offense, we see great application, not just in that space, but across into defensive cyberspace operations, but also into DoDIN operations, to help really make the network work better at speed by putting personnel in different places and getting after problems by sitting with the warfighter and helping them like live take care of issues when they're having problems with the network.
So I'm tracking the 17 alphas. One of your initiatives is putting those officers back into the BCT formation. We know the 17 Bravo already exists there, but when a BCT commander is interviewing potential cyber officers, whether it be 17 Alpha or 17 Bravo, what are some things they should be looking for?
So a couple things. First is, you know, do they have an understanding of the processes they need in order to really fight within the cyber domain? Do they understand how to do requests for frequencies? They understand how to do frequency deconfliction. They understand how to do electronic protection measures, think EW, or electronic attack, based on the tools that that brigade combat team, division, or corps have. Because right now, they all don't have the same kit. Some of them are very much COTS-based, and some of them are built off, you know, different ONSes. And so it's very important that they know that the personnel within their shop understand how to use the tools that are within their brigade combat team, division, or corps the best. So that was really an answer for 17 Bravos, to have make sure you've got a good set of 17 Bravos. And then what we've added this year, so big change within our Army, is now within the CEMA sections, the cyber electromagnetic activity sections inside brigade combat teams, is we are now adding in a 17 Alpha cyberspace operations officer among the electronic warfare officers inside that section. So there's going to be one 17 Alpha captain that's going to be dropped in the middle of that, that's really going to help out and with the interface, I'll say, additionally, between our 25 community, our 35 community, and the EW community within that space. And that BCT commander is going to want to know that they can rely on that 17 Alpha to provide best advice on how to actively defend the BCT's network based on the kit that the Signal Corps has and the additional capabilities that the cyber community, think Army Cyber, think the expeditionary cyber teams and what they can bring to bear, and then what can have an understanding from that 17 Alpha, how can they request cyber effects? So the SURF, there's a SURF that's out there, the cyber effects request form, that 17 Alpha knows how to request and do call for fire for offense or high-end defensive tailored response options if that BCT is in a situation where they've got to create some movement and maneuver space.
Sir, could you tell us a bit more about that executive course you referenced earlier in the podcast?
Well, yeah, so I'll say, so a big thing about how we educate senior leaders in the cyber domain is we have mobile training teams that go out to brigade combat team commanders, division, and corps commanders, and it's called the Senior Leader Cyber Operations Orientation, and it can be a sit-down with that command team anywhere from, you know, an hour to 8 hours, however much they want. And we have longer courses up to 40 hours where our mobile training team will go out there and say, hey, this is how you can take advantage of all the capabilities within the cyber domain. What, you know, how best to utilize your CEMA section, how best to utilize that cyberspace officer, that one alpha within your formation, how you can request support from the 915th Cyber Warfare Battalion, how you can request for forces for an expeditionary cyber team to come in and be able to do some things on the active defense perspective and request offensive effects. That's the course that we teach to really help inform our senior leaders how they can get after better engagements within offense and defense within the cyber domain.
So Ranger Regiment's particularly interested in expeditionary cyber operations. Broadly speaking, what is the capability and how do you train soldiers to compete in that space?
So twofold. One, obviously we take them through their initial military training or professional military education, and then we have additional pieces and parts on the tactical kit that they have. I'm not going to go over or give you some of the names of the tactical kit, but we have additional tactical kit that they can train on. And a big part of that training is that we have a thing called the Cyber Range, and developing a capability. It exists, but we're greatly expanding it, is the Persistent Cyber Training Environment, PCTE, where we can train on weapons platforms that we have developed, think the 17 Deltas have developed, or maybe Program of Records, PMs have developed, and we're testing and test firing those capabilities, either on offense or defense, to know how we can best defend that, being able to package those up and then get them out to the force and be part and parcel to what that expeditionary cyber team can do. Having said that, it still and always comes down to having a platform and having the authority to operate that platform. So authority in this case is really, we're talking permissions all the way up to presidential permissions in order to engage the adversary. And so we may have the absolute capability to do those things, to do bad things to bad people, but we absolutely need, because we're a nation of law, the authority to use these tools in time and space for our community.
Sir, as the Commandant and Chief of Cyber, what are your lines of effort?
So we have four lines of effort as the Chief and the Commandant, and I'll start off with line of operation, actually number one, which is to build out the school. As the newest branch, we are still building out and have a lot of temporary facilities. Fort Gordon is massively growing, and we've got brand new facilities that are being stood up here. We've already broken ground, and so the future of the Cyber Center of Excellence is all brand new training facilities. Very exciting down here at Fort Gordon, along with the stand-up of Army Cyber, and so building out the school. And so we have more new training courses inside this branch than all branches combined. And so building out the school is key to our success. That also includes all the military construction that's going on here right now at Fort Worth. That's thing one. Thing two is my main effort is number two. Line of effort number two is to train and educate the Cyber Corps. So think any 17 series, cradle to grave, here's all the things that you need to know, whether it's a IMT, PME, or functional course that's trained here. Line number three is to train and educate the Army and Joint Community on what the heck cyber is and how can we inform people how best to utilize our 17 series who are not in that branch. And then last one is to develop the information warfare culture. As a new branch and just as the newest in the Army in a new domain, we don't have those years and years of traditions and cultures of other branches. And the Signal Corps just celebrated its 160th birthday, and we just celebrated our fifth. So you can kind of see the differences between the traditions and history and customs that they have and the ones that we are developing by a branch that's really been built out of other branches. And so just building that culture and understanding how to best do that as being a great teammate and being focused on innovation and being elite. Without being an elitist, are keys to our success and coming at it from a really position of humility in all that we do.
So, sir, switching over here, Tim Secor from the 75th Ranger Regiment Military Intelligence Battalion. What would you say is the culture of the Cyber Corps, and where do you believe that culture will be in the future?
So I'll say the culture of the Cyber Corps is continuing to develop. We're 5 years old, and so it's how cultured is the 5-year-old, right? So we were born really out of SIGINT and intel on the offensive side, and then developed over time. So we really focused on offense or OCO first, and now we're rolling out and building out our defense, our active defense, and DCO spaces. And so I'll say that it is still being developed, but it really started off with a operational and strategic mindset, working in SCIFs and really focused on two areas, really Fort Gordon and Fort Meade. The changes that are happening right now are that we're pushing into the tactical space. We're pushing cyber now down and through the corps into the divisions and now down into the brigade combat teams, which is really exciting. We're having more and more folks on 17 series go through Ranger School. We're having more and more folks. We just had our first honor graduate of Airborne School, a young female private just graduated from Ranger School. We actually had the first female NCO in the Army that graduated from Ranger School was 17 series. So you're going to see more and more 17 series in the tactical space in leadership jobs, getting after the cyber domain and building out a culture that is much different than how we started, which is going to be really the totality of the Army from the I'll say the tactical edge all the way to the very end of being strategic and working with 3- and 4-letter agencies.
Thank you for that insight, sir. And as the 75th Ranger Regiment, we are 100% supportive of getting more cyber experts into Ranger School and into that tactical edge, since that's the space that we persist. When you talk about getting all those expertise, earlier in the podcast you talked about our STEM majors and maximizing those skill sets and getting individuals with those specialty skills into the cyber core. Do you see a point where there's not going to be enough fish in the pond, folks with those skill sets and also want to do a few push-ups and sit-ups once in a while?
Yeah, so twofold. One, we're soldiers first. I know that maybe we're back to like 5 years ago, maybe the thought was, let's not worry about PT as much as brain, right? That, you know, that's crap, right? We're soldiers first. And we're now gunning into the tactical space. But to get to your question on fishing the pond, is we, unlike all other branches, we are recruiting in the high schools. We are recruiting in cyber capture the flag and DEFCON. We are recruiting in industry. We are recruiting in academia. We are talking not to college seniors about what branch they want to be, but we're talking to high school seniors and college freshmen to say, hey, if you want to be in the space, it's best if you have a STEM degree, pick it now, and we'll keep in contact with you. We do a lot of background checks as we go along, because you've got to be able to pass those background checks to get the TSSCI and the polygraphs and those things. So we are fishing in the fish hatchery before those fish even make it to the pond. That's how early we're actually way left in that space, and we're in the civilian space, and we also direct commission personnel. So if there's some special skills we need, we can direct commission officers off or civilians off the street who have those special skills, and we've already done that to the rank of lieutenant, captain, major, even lieutenant colonel. So very exciting times for us right now on how we're gaining or finding talent and getting talent inside the cyber core.
It definitely sounds like you're casting a pretty wide net there, sir. Sir, what would you say to the young student at The Ohio State? He's in the electrical engineering program there, and he says, I would love to do ROTC and be a cyber officer, but this program is intense. It's the best in the world because it is The Ohio State. And he says, I just don't have time to participate in ROTC. What would your reply be to him for that?
Well, as you know, I am very fond of The Ohio State University, having grown up in that particular area. I would tell that young person that we are looking for not just your aptitude and your GPA, but we're also looking for your attitude. We want to go after, get after attitude. We want someone with grit. We need someone with character. And we can train you in the technical skills. Okay. We don't just grab people. We truly have people from, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, and a lot of MIT, and West Pointers, but we also have plenty of people from the Big Ten and from HBCUs and other places, SEC, SEC. So we cast a wide net on what we're looking for, and it's really about STEM and get people motivated about wanting to make a difference inside the space and to serve and really getting after and serving your country.
Hey, sir, coming out of the audience, we have a question from Lieutenant David Farr. He's the cyber platoon leader in the SEMA company inside of the RMIB right now. So I'm going to pass the mic over to him.
Sir, this podcast was awesome. Thank you very much. It was really cool to hear a lot of this. I'm also a recent Bullet grad coming from Fort Gordon as well. And I just kind of was wondering about the, because I mean, infantry obviously cross-pollinate the officers between light and heavy brigades. And I was kind of curious, are there plans to do that with cyber, with OCO versus DECO versus ECO and data analyst?
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. So when I walked in here, I saw that people could, it looked like there was no movement allowed. And so we have changed the course maps. As the chief of the branch, I have changed the course maps. So you could come into Bolick and be a 17 Bravo and go to a tactical formation and spend your entire lieutenant years in 2nd of the 82nd or Rangers or whatever the case is, and then as a 17 Bravo. And then you could go to the captain's career course and flip across and be an Alpha. Okay, and go into cyberspace operations from electronic warfare, and then go into offensive cyber in the 780th or defensive cyber with the cyber protection brigade. But likewise, you could start off as an Alpha, do offense, go to triple C, and then go to defense in the other unit, or vice versa, go start with defense, flip across, and then go into offense. And so we're really opening up 17 Alpha and Bravo, and now Delta, and now Deltas can do the same thing. So you could go through the Delta Bullet course, and then at the Captain's Career course, you can flip across and become an Alpha or a Bravo. So you've got the opportunities in this space are really endless, because we've really opened that up, which includes those battalion command, battalion and brigade CSL jobs are not just for Alphas anymore, they're for all 17 series. And so we've really opened up the aperture to give people as many options as they have, as we kind of talked about in the beginning of the podcast about how we define success. Much of it is the branch setting up opportunities and for the soldier or service member taking advantage of those opportunities that are granted.
Yeah, sir, thank you. That was an awesome answer. I was very curious. And thank you for your time.
Yeah. Hey, sir, thanks for being on the podcast again. That concludes the questions we have. Really good information for really the force, and we look forward to all the lines of effort that you have and your future success at Fort Gordon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, and y'all have a great day.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Tim Sikora, the 75th Ranger Regiment Military Intelligence Battalion Commander. Inside of our battalion, we're always looking for specially skilled individuals that love challenges of the mental and physical domain. We are the only battalion in the Army that combines the military specialties of unmanned aerial surveillance, human and military source operations, all source intelligence, signals intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, and cyber and electronic warfare. If you find those specialties interesting to you, be sure to search in your favorite search bar for Go Army Ranger.
This recording and any information or material placed on this podcast, including advice and opinions, are the views and responsibilities of those making the comments and do not represent the views of the Department of Defense, the United States government, or its third-party service providers. Thank you.